after off session. Okay. I'm also recording at the same time as on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is it good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Under the Mango podcast. A funny name, but we did not know what to call our podcast. My name is Elizabeth Horleman, and together with Jill, we decided to come up with this Under the Mango Tree podcast. And the idea is actually to help, empower, and support Black businesses here in Germany. I am a critical whiteness trainer. I also offer intercultural trainings and also country analysis trainings. And in addition to that, of course, I also offer coaching, which is part of what I'm doing now in terms of this podcast, in that I offer empowerment trainings and workshops relating to anti-racism, relating to people who have suffered racism, but also coaching for those people who are finding themselves stuck in their lives. I'll hand over now the microphone to Jill.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us live on Facebook. My name is Jillian Luangu-Pirot. Professionally speaking, I work in an international bank, and my side hustle, or which is going to turn into my main hustle at some point, is I run a Kenyan restaurant. It's called Nairobi Kenyanish's Restaurant and Grill. It's in Ashbourne, and I specifically decided to call it a Kenyan restaurant because I'm passionate about promoting Kenyan traditions, Kenyan culture, and Kenyan dishes, so that people get to know the Kenyan dishes, because we have always have this thing of calling a Kenyan or any other African restaurant Africanish's restaurant, and then somebody cannot really know what foods are being served there. So, and today we are going to talk about passion. So in my case, I'm really passionate about foods, especially the Kenyan foods, because after colonialism, it's like we are losing our original foods. And for me, I always take time. I also go to Kenya once a year or twice a year, just to find out, to speak to even grandmothers. They teach me how to cook the traditional dishes. And this is what I'm also bringing into our Kenyan restaurant. Back to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, Jill, you remember that when we decided just spontaneously that we come up with this podcast, the idea was that that supporting the Black business is so difficult. I find also in Germany, it's a real big challenge. You know, we are diehard supporters of the Black business, but there are so many gaps which we find that the Black businesses are falling short in terms of delivering that what they should deliver, be it in terms of quality, be it in terms of service, presentation, branding. There's so many things that we find is lacking. And we personally, me, I think I work so hard. Not I think, I work so hard. And if I want to buy something, I want it to be something with quality. And I also would like, I don't even think I want to say I'd like, I think I would demand that because I'm giving my money to that person, I would expect that the minimum that they would give me is the top-notch service. And if this is not happening, it makes it very difficult for me when we're saying we should turn the cent, you know, so many times before we give it out to the other, you know, economic communities, that we should turn that one euro so many times in our community before it goes out. But it really makes it difficult because the Black community or even the African community, in terms of the services they are delivering, I find that they are falling short. But you had a nice example to share. What actually prompted us to start?
I could give you several examples. I could give you several examples because, okay, I also believe in supporting Black businesses. Like, okay, I must say the African supplying me the drinks is very reliable. Okay. When we agree, he's delivering at on Saturday at 1600. He's there. He's delivered. He's very reliable. Mm-hmm. But I've had a few cases whereby. So you agree with a supplier, let me put it in quotes, supplier, to cover and you agree with the supplier to come and deliver something. And then first of all, the person comes in very late.
Mm-hmm.
The person comes in very late. And in my case, I'm in a field whereby I do not open my restaurant until early in the morning. Because the clientele that I have, they like to be in a restaurant like latest until midnight, then they go to sleep. So here I'm expecting a supplier to come and deliver something that has to be delivered within that specific time. And then the person arrives at 10 o'clock.
Gosh.
Most of the clients have left. So in my case, I would never hire such a person again. It would never happen again, because it also made me go back to the drawing board. And then you ask yourself, is it really necessary to promote a Black business, especially if the supplier is not reliable at all? And then they come, turn out around the story and blame it on you, because in such a case, actually, I was just lenient. I paid the person half of the money. Right. Under normal circumstances, I shouldn't have paid a cent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the person turned around the story and it was all Jill's fault. Jill did this. Jill did not deal, you know, food. It's crazy how people turn around the stories. And I'm like, yeah, as you're talking to your sympathizers, would you please explain your side of the story to say what you did for you not to get the amount to be paid? So you get many businessmen are being blamed for not paying, whereby in actual sense, the supplier did not meet the side of the contract, which is really not fair. So we end up looking for other suppliers. And then you ask yourself, why aren't the Black or the African business people not working together? It's because for my business, I need someone to be the suppliers to be super reliable. And also some flexibility should be allowed within the margin. So yeah, those are the kind of experiences I've had. Or you'll find that there's some people when they come to your restaurant, someone shamelessly walks in with food from another restaurant.
Oh yeah.
And wait. I'm like, excuse me, would you do this? Actually, in Germany, it's illegal to bring in food from another restaurant into your restaurant. It's really illegal. But the person just assumes that this is a Kenyan, and me being a Kenyan, Ebu, I can also bring in food from a Chinese restaurant. Then when a client walks in, sees a Chinese box, and this is a Kenyan restaurant labeled outside, and then you're asked, oh, do you guys also do Chinese? I'm like, no. Just because a client is so shameless to walk in with a Chinese box or another restaurant food. I mean, people don't do that. I mean, respect other people's businesses, honestly. It cannot be that you're just so, because even in Nairobi itself, there's no way I'll come out even with a bottle of water from outside and bring it into a restaurant. And here we are in Germany, instead of promoting another African, you walk in with food from another restaurant. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking. I have to say, since I opened the restaurant, I'm really getting to know the humans.
The human being side, yes.
Seriously, the restaurant is just 1 month old, but what I've seen until now, it is just over the top. It's crazy. And I wonder then, what am I going to see next?
You know, when you're talking about bringing in, some people bringing in their foods, I remember that there are laws here in Germany that binds you to the food that you are actually delivering within your premises, even your insurance, which basically means if technically there was something wrong with that food, you would be held liable for the compensations or for the damages that have been incurred. Your customers, because yes, it has to be ascertained from the medical sector the source of where this person's, you know, damages or illnesses have come from. But if now somebody is bringing food from outside and it is being put in your restaurant, there is no way that I think you can come up and say, no, that food did not originate from here, even if it had a different packing. Yes. I would imagine it causes a lot of difficulties for you.
Yeah, yes, it does, because I tried to explain to the client that you cannot do that. I mean, first of all, it's illegal. And secondly, if you have a running stomach right now, the first thing you'll say, you had your last food in Nairobi.
Yeah.
Then how will I come up and say, no, the client came in with food? And already I know, according to the laws, a client is not allowed to bring in their own food from somewhere else. Because I take full responsibility when I'm giving out my dishes, I have to make sure it's clean. The environment where I'm cooking, it's super clean. You know, cleanliness is the highest order, and then somebody brings in food from somewhere else. I don't know how it was prepared in that place, or is it even fresh to begin with? Then you bring in, you try to explain to a client, and a client is shouting at you, "Oh, please respect me. You should have respected my premises first before you come in," because also under the German law, there's this thing called house ordnung. I'm allowed to throw you out.
Yeah, the owner has the right of...
I have the right to, it's like in my house, if you walk in my house with your strange food, I can tell you, no, you're not allowed to bring in, or you're not allowed to behave the way you're behaving, you have to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you get polite, because that was an elderly person, I was thinking, let me not start a shouting match, because other clients were also in the restaurant. It's only that for the future, I mean, I'll be taking a tough stance in the future. I'll not, I shouldn't tolerate this. No.
You know, when you were saying that, it reminded me that passion is viewed differently according to most of us. Let me just say Africans. I just want us to look at the meta levels, always to try and limit ourselves to that the group that is now having the issues. And I find that we Africans, we kind of have a very different relationship to the word passion. I recall when you were talking about this group that you were, that you had hired, and that has a very good, the concept is so good, because it was a combination of him bringing, the music, and you are going to combine it with the food. That was his passion. You know, he's a storyteller. That is his passion. And if you do not even respect your own passion, or respect two things, or should I say three things, actually, respect yourself, respect your passion, and also to respect your business. These are some of the key factors that you see people go into startups and do not kick off, because first of all, maybe they saw somebody else doing that. I always say we all cook, but I could never ever imagine myself, just because I see somebody cooking Kenyan foods and I'm a Kenyan, that I can go and venture and dare venture, for example, in the gastronomy industry. It has to be something I'm passionate about. It has to be something that I look forward to, and not I'm doing it because if Jill can do it, so can I.
No, like gastronomy is very difficult, because in my case, I'm serving only dinners. I don't do lunches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serving only dinners. So meaning I have to work until around midnight, come home, sleep, and then the next day I'm working for the bank. You know, that's the rotation I have. Yeah. So if I didn't have the passion, I mean, I would close even today, because it's not easy. Because when working in a restaurant, first of all, I'm mainly in the kitchen. I have guys doing the service, but I'm the main cook in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then you're called out of the kitchen to solve an issue at the front. You know, something that when someone says, no, I want to particularly talk to the chef in. So I have to come out, and you listen to the things they're complaining about and all this kind of stuff. It's crazy. So, I mean, it really needs a lot of passion, respect, and also taking your own business seriously.
Yeah.
Because the people I hired to come and perform at some point, I ended up asking myself, how seriously are they with their business? Do they think it's when I invite you to come and perform at my place, how seriously are you taking the business? Yeah. I mean, yeah, or are they taking me seriously? So I really don't know how to put it, because for me, when I'm in the kitchen cooking and opening a restaurant, I have to be very serious that I have to serve high quality food to the clients. And also the issue when you're saying you have to respect your business, that's a very, because when you say you have to respect, how do you present yourself in the business, you know? There's a lot of aspects to it for people to take you seriously.
Yeah.
As much as people say, yeah, it's from the heart, but then you come, how is the outlook?
Yeah.
That's again another thing. Yes, because I remember a client telling me, oh, thank God at last you found an African restaurant in a safe location. These are the quotes I got from a client. And I would ask myself, but what's wrong with other businesses? You know, I wouldn't have thought of such things, but the person was like, yeah, there are many cases he's gone to another restaurant, and whenever he goes home, he realizes a mirror is missing, I don't know, a tire has been burst, all these kind of things. So at the end of the day, the outlook plays a big role, and then the seriousness, how serious do you take your business to be?
I also find that when I define passion, passion is something that keeps me awake. Passion is something that scares me. And passion is something that really is the engine that drives me always to look forward to doing what I love doing best. And I find that because I'm passionate about it, even when I have let's say problems, or there are, you know, things that are not going right, I find that at that time, I'm at my best element, because it is me who knows which buttons, which, you know, what to do and how to do it to solve this very same problem that I am having. So I always find that passion is so important, because when you have passion, that is like half the tools that you have in your toolbox that is for that your business really needs. Whereas yes. If you go in and just taking, you just go and what I call copy paste other people's business ideas, you're going to find that whenever you have a problem, you're going to have issues with how do I find the solutions to solve these problems. And these are going to be the first steps of, and this is where you're going to give up, because you cannot be able to cope when you're going to do some copy paste business, not knowing what happens at the back, you know, what happens at, I want to call it the dashboard, or, you know, there at the motor, what really happens when this and that is happening, yeah. When, you know, when issues are coming up, how do I get to solve those things? So for me, I think passion is the engine that really drives that what you're planning to put, or that what you're planning to implement, be it a startup or the business that you're doing currently.
Yes. Yeah, passion is a big drive, because it also helps you in planning. Because when I was starting the restaurant, I didn't do as much planning as I required to do when I started the cooking classes, because I've been doing cooking classes for almost 4 years now. And there I did a huge planning. I mean, the business plan and the marketing plan I did for the cooking classes, it took me almost 6 months plus going for trainings also on top of that, you know. So, and then when it came to the restaurant, I thought, since I have experience with the cooking class, it can be the same thing. It's not. It's not. So I did some kind of planning, but it's like, whether you like it or not, there's a learning curve every single day. And if you do not have the passion to drive you and motivate you into learning every single day, you will easily give up. Yeah. And also through your passion, you're also able to talk to friends. Like sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I better call Frau Holleman. Things are so tight. I need to talk to somebody, you know. You shake your head and nothing, the brains are not even shaking. You just... So it's like, due to the passion, I'm also driven not to give up, and also try to talk, and also try to find us. So always, you have to always find a solution, because I don't think, like a client gave me a very good statement. Keiner Meister ist geboren. Kein Meister ist von Himmel gefallen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And whenever I always think about this sentence, and it really motivates me a lot, because we all, even the professors, are always learning something every day.
Yeah, that is a very nice, point. That's giving the business and yourself space to learn. But learning also means giving yourself the space to make those mistakes. And there are so many things that you can do that can be able to get you to accept that you can make mistakes. Making mistakes is not part of our culture, by the way, by the virtue of the fact that we have inherited those other, you know, the inheritance traumas of the past that our parents, our grandparents have done. If you note that a lot of us believe that if we have to do something, it has to start perfectly and it has to work perfectly. So much so that we find ourselves caught up in so many other, I think, psychological problems. Some of them I mentioned in my TikTok account today, where you find that because of the past traumas, you find yourself, you know, really, you know, catastrophizing, you know, if I do this, it is going to, you know, it is going to be a failure. You start to look for why it should be a failure, and you find yourself really manifested in and concentrating in just nurturing this catastrophic thing that is supposed to be happening, or even mind reading. Mind reading is also another thing, you know, it's also another way that you suffered some traumas or you inherited some traumas, that you always want to mind read what is the person saying, what is the person doing, whereas the person is just maybe just making a very, very simple statement, but you want to mind read all that. So for me, I find that allowing yourself to make a mistake, allowing yourself to build in the learning curve, and above all, what you also mentioned very likely was training. When you said when you started with your catering, you went and you did training. I don't know how much money I have invested myself in just training as a trainer.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to do, you know, learn this new method, acquire this new license, adding always investing in myself, a car investing in my business. You can never be able to overlearn or underlearn in terms of your business. So if you have somebody who is passionate, remember, your passion is not the only other tool that you can have in the toolbox. Others you need to do by virtue of going for those trainings. They are so important. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, you can only make mistakes through experience.
Yes.
It can never be theory. It has to be practical. So through that, you can learn, you gather again an experience, and you can also be a role model for somebody else who will ask you, hey, I would also like to open a restaurant. What would you advise? You can also mentor other people on that. Mm-hmm. But I think the main word topic for today is passion.
Yeah.
Without a passion, you will not have any motivation. Without passion, you'll not have the drive to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy, especially doing business in Germany, and I want to stick to the books. It's not easy at all. It's not a walk in the park.
Yeah, and also passion must also, like you say, doing it officially. You cannot have a passion and start things under the water.
No.
You cannot have passion and be invisible. We African Black businesses in Europe or in Germany, for that matter, we are so invisible. We are terribly invisible. And that is one of the reasons why we decided to do these things, because we need to be with other people that are in business so that we are networking. And networking, like you said, whenever you find you've reached a corner where you can't be able to, you know, you can't be able to turn, you make the, you know, you call me and we sit down and we start to do brainstorming. We need to have such networking that we are pulling each other toward one another and, you know, rubbing each other's backs as we go higher. We need to look for who am I going to get closer to, who is the same, you know, mindset like myself, who we can both of us work. We don't have to be in the same line. We're like, for instance, you and myself, we're not in the same line of trade at all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we still have so much in common in the sense that we have businesses and we all are looking and aspiring to be successful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we are passionate about our businesses.
Oh, yes, me, I am. Definitely.
Yes.
I've had incidences where, you remember the last time where I had an incident with one of my participants, those come. But then this incident was also for me a learning curve, despite the fact that I've been doing these trainings for I don't know how many years, for over 15, 16 years I've been doing this. And out of the blue, you get one or two participants that are going to, you know, come out and stand above the maize field. These are my learning experiences. And for that, you go back and you find out, go back to your drawing board, which I did, to find out, and how best can I be able to do this better the next time? Because the thing is, I love to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you have any more points? Because we decided these are just going to be some short podcasts. Anything else that you think we could share?
At the beginning, when you're talking about us deciding on the topic, under the mango tree, it's because like in Kenya, most of the times when you go visit your grandmother and you have a discussion, we sit under the mango tree to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think it is almost the same concept. It's just that we are facing each other on the laptop and we can set up some different scenarios on how we are going to do it. But for me, I think it will be very enlightening to give information, especially from experience, because I remember the first time I ever wanted to start a business in Germany, I just asked somebody who doesn't have a business an African, and he told me, ah, finance amt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So already I was like, geez, Finanzamt is already, I can never touch a business in Germany because of Finanzamt. But yeah. Now from experience myself, I realized when you go by the books, do your Steuererklärung on time, ask questions. By like when I was opening the restaurant, I came to realize it is a different, the documents you need for opening a restaurant is very different from what I needed for the cooking classes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I was telling, when I was applying for opening the restaurant, I told them, it's just an upgrade from cooking classes, now I have a restaurant. Then they're like, that's even a heavier requirement.
Yeah.
I was like, what? But it's just food, I'll continue the cooking classes. Da, da, da. They're like, no, a restaurant, we are talking about alcohol. Yes, you're at of age to sell alcohol. And then they also look at your criminal records.
Yeah.
I had to produce a Führungszeugnis to open a restaurant. It's not just like that, you know? Mm. So these are some of the information we also need to put together for the people who aspire to open African, Kenyan, any other restaurant, because for you to sell alcohol, you need to produce a Führungszeugnis that you never did anything weird, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
And then there is also the reason why we also started with the under the mango tree is that we are not going to always be just the two of us. We're going to be inviting people to come in and also share their experiences, their expertise. It is also another way, I think, of letting people outside know outside there that there is this business that is offering this, that, and the other, and they can, you know, showcase their products and stuff like that. But the idea under the Mango Tree podcast is that we are going to be promoting one another in developing our businesses and also being successful. Good. I would say that I'm not sure how many minutes we've done, but I think that not too long and not too short podcasts are more relevant. We want to be compact but giving a lot of information. So each and every person that has got a question, either for myself or Jill, we are going to post this on TikTok somehow. I'm not sure how. We're going to post it on our social media, both our social medias. So if you have a question, you can just drop it there and we'll try and answer. Please remember that we don't live on social media. We also have other things to do. So if your question doesn't get answered immediately, it is not being ignored. It is just that we're trying to clear the table and space for it to attend to it. Otherwise, it was really nice to have you guys, whoever is watching online. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you again on Monday next week.
Jill. Good. Yes. No, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I look forward to more discussions, more experience sharing, which is definitely, I'm sure it will be very helpful to someone who wants to start, or it will motivate someone somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea. So have a lovely evening and see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you. Take care. Bye.